Let us acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, their elders past and present, traditional custodians of the land we now share. Let us be inspired by the resilience, innovation and perseverance of past generations. Let us honour those who protect this great land. May you draw strength from your God or faith, so that we may here today, on behalf of our community, build a vibrant future together. Council advises that an audio recording of the proceedings of this meeting will be taken and made publicly available on the website. Those in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Thank you. So we'll move on to 2.0. Apologies and applications for leave, absence by councillors. Of course, we've got the General Manager away, Ray Smith. Any other councillors or absences? No, everyone's here. Okay, good. No apologies. Okay, we'll move on to the minutes. The minutes are there. Can I have a mover? Councillor Keighley, a seconder. Councillor Thomas. Are there any corrections, issues, councillors, you'd like to bring to our attention? No, if not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. So we'll move on to 4.0. Disclosures of interest. Are there any disclosures of interest this evening, councillors?
My husband is a non-compliant member of the Jones Club, so I have nothing to do with it.
Okay, councillor. Anybody else? Okay, I am also a tennis player, so I have to declare a non-pecuniary interest in that as well. Presentations of public forum. We have Andrew Bartlett. I'd ask Andrew to come forward to speak on behalf of the tennis club grant application.
Okay, thanks for your time tonight. I'd like to inform you that some of the work that's been going on at the tennis club. I'm the current president of the club, and we've been working on ways to improve our tired old amenities for the past number of years, trying to lift their function and appearance to make them work better for us and to better fit the overall quality of the complex. The tennis court area is highly visible and should showcase the whole precinct. We've tried a few stopgap things, a new paint job, planted trees, concreted our entrance pathway, but we know what remains are old and ramshackle buildings in the wrong position, a place that actually prevents the best development of this otherwise great community resource. So through lots of wriggling and effort and our own expense with professional plans and quotes, we've finally been successful in securing $148,400 from round three of the SCCF. That's, you know, a wonderful result. But we've realised that we underdid the concept in that rushed grant application. We tried to make it more attractive to win approval by cutting it back after prior grant losses sapped our confidence. But we pruned it back to something that just doesn't cut it as anywhere near the best solution. And worse, it doesn't even work as a phase one with phase two to follow as the design gets in its own way. We've consulted with building professionals and all have agreed the new plan is the far better option, both for final product and for cost efficiency. The feedback's been unanimous, do it once, do it properly, and definitely don't build things in the wrong places. So we've submitted to council management both the old and the new plan, which hopefully most of you have seen. And it shows the changes with detailed costings, and we're seeking financial support of $103,000, which includes $8,000 in in-kind labour value by council, so it's $95,000 in dollar cost. This new plan is very cost efficient, as many of the items have already been funded. The full adoption of the plan means that we can remove all the old buildings at the site and leave behind no obstructions to landscaping the whole frontage of this key area. It'll resolve the whole southwest corner of the precinct once and for all. This benefits another major upside for the community. As with Roncrow Oval, the basketball stadium and all of our parks, the McAllister Oval precinct will be set to join the list as a completed first-class facility for all our community. While tennis is becoming strong again on participation, there are an increasing number of people keen to turn up simply for a social outlet, a gathering point, just like going to the footy or shows or markets. And this plan fits perfectly for all this kind of community interaction to become another great asset owned by Blanshire. We're a strong club with many active members and players aged from 5 to 85. We won't name the 85, but I think we all know who she is. We've got committed volunteers and a club that's very open and friendly, welcoming all. Building something inferior or inadequate just because we've been granted money to build what now looks like more like Plan D is not what we're about. We can't proceed in that way. The Tennis Club and its members are committed to providing many more volunteer hours to this project and to maintaining it as we always have done. And we can also guarantee that we'll not come to council for more funding to complete the job. We just need a little more support now to activate the best option, one that can be a key pillar in updating this whole area. I hope you agree this updated project's worthy of support. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Thanks very much. Okay, we'll move on to 5.1. A presentation from Mr. Robert Brand from Thunderstruck. Robert.
Just before Robert launches into our presentation, I'll introduce myself and the other members of the team. My name's Bruce Bowler from Dennis O'Day. Yes. We're from Thunderstruck Space, an aerospace company. And I've got to admit that we've actually been lurking around in the Shire for quite some number of years. We know the area pretty well. And what we've been doing, I'm sorry, I'm talking to your back, I don't mean to, we've been launching high altitude balloons into the stratosphere. And the purpose of that is to test sensors and product and cameras, etc., for potential use into space. Now, we get up to the stratosphere is about 30 odd kilometres up, fair way up. Space is 100 kilometres up, so we're about one third of the way there, roughly. So we've been doing this for quite some time, and we've had a few interesting changes to the direction of the company. We're looking at sort of four main streams of things, which includes the high altitude balloons I just mentioned, stratodome airships, which we'll get to shortly. We've also got a project for the Mars Median mission coming up probably in about 6 years' time. We're working with NASA on that one. And the last thing is launching rockets into low Earth orbit, possibly higher than that, but low Earth orbit is what we want to do. So what we're really here tonight to explain is just a little bit about what we're doing and why it is we're in the Blanshire Council area doing it. And what I might do is hand over to Robert for a presentation, and then I am sure there'll be questions from nearly everyone.
Just quickly, I will show a video about the three of the areas we're working in. One is how we would launch from the middle of New South Wales. You can't exactly just launch a rocket in case it crashes down somewhere. Here we go. This is not doing its thing again. Let's try. Okay. Well, that's fine. it was working just a minute ago, oddly enough. Let's just hit this. Okay, that's not going to work again. No way I can make it happen by the looks of it. All right, let's not worry about that. Back to the presentation. But it has some information here on it. Right. So First of all, we are an aerospace company. That was our logo from last year. Didn't get that one, did I? It's now Thunderstruck Space. We're Australian. We do have some people from the USA involved, one of them being Rick Armstrong, son of Neil Armstrong. We've got a couple of astronauts, for real astronauts that built the space station and other things involved. We have a large international board of advisors, and we're developing a Mars mission for landing probes on Mars with NASA's help, of course. There are spin-off technologies that's going to come from this. We're partnering with defence organisations at the moment, with the Air Force, and we have rocket building capability. And that's what we intend to do one day. This is a test that NASA did with a dummy rocket, but it's exactly what we plan to do. Load it in the back of an aircraft, drop it out, ignite it mid-air, about 10 kilometres altitude, over the ocean. So the beauty of this is that we don't need a launch facility, but you know, this is where we're headed one day in the not too distant future. And because of that, you know, there's nothing available on the East Coast to launch rockets. We want to be the first with a system that works really well and low cost. We don't have to have expensive ground launch facilities, and it's interesting. Bad weather near the equator is always a problem. We won't have that, and because of that, we actually have started doing our first rocket launches in the US. That was November last year. We have had a bit of a pause because of the COVID-19 problems over there, and we'll start launching again in the next couple of weeks, I hope. So we have capability, not just talk about capability. Rick Armstrong, son of Neil Armstrong, is providing us with some assistance in testing the Mars mission work. We've got one of the world's top planetary scientists, Jenny Radebaugh, and so on. Like I said, we don't have all of the people up there. It's actually grown to a very long list. And we have a Mars mission, and we hope to land a probe that looks very much like this on Mars with five of its brothers and sisters. They'll be actually forming a network on Mars in a few years' time, probably about six. So we're working hard on that and working with the Australian Defence Force Academy, blasting probes into Mars simulant over the next 12 months. We've got to work out how deep they'll go and how to best do it. Recently, we had an announcement from the Defence Minister, Defence Industries Minister, and it was actually a three-minister announcement about our work with defence. And that's actually from nearly 10 years ago, that picture of our first balloon flight. So we've been doing it now for 10 years, launching either in your shire or over and into your shire. So the payloads come down. We've done nearly 40 that have either taken off or landed here in the shire. And we've recovered. We've launched 46 altogether, some overseas, and we've recovered all 46. So we remain the dominant player in the world in this area of launching sensors and cameras and all sorts of things. Now, they're not spying on you, by the way. This is just testing how it goes. We've even launched packages that are destined for Mars. So what we're looking at is how to discover infrared, you know, field colours and all sorts of things at the moment, so that we can work out what we're looking at for when these things are deployed to other parts of the solar system. So it's a very, very important thing that we're doing. There's no spy cameras, they're just looking at foliage and stuff. When we launch them, they go up to nearly 30, the most is about 39K we've had over the years.
Last one was 33, I think.
Yeah, 30.
A little over.
And that's what the balloon looks like when it bursts. It's about 15 metres wide there. It starts off at 2 metres wide. But we've grown from this. And by the way, you'll actually see this video. This is clips out of the video on the living room shortly in the next few weeks if you want to see what it's all about for real. But that's not what we're here for. Oh, that's the defence mascot, by the way. That's really that top one is really close to the point where it the balloon is about to explode. The curve is a bit unnatural because it's using a 360 degree camera that actually looks at everything. You can look around, look down, everything. And that's over Bar Medman on the right. So here's what we're here for. We've embarked on a project which is supported by Defence, but it's our project to build stratospheric airships. We're looking to partner with this council to have them built in this area and launched in this area for deployment around this region. That's an artist's conception. We might not have the fancy look to it by the time we're finished, because you don't want to carry too much rubbish up there. We just bare bones is usually what we do, but you know, you can't show that to the public. They want to see the pretty pictures. But it will look similar to that without maybe the covering on board. And the airship is big. It starts off very flaccid and floppy down on the ground. When it gets up there, it fills up and then hovers at about 23 kilometres altitude. Looks something like that. And it's able to motor around, probably do about 90 kilometres an hour if we're lucky. Maybe 80 is more of a better figure. But we can actually use the motors to stay in place. So we can be geostationary at about 23 kilometres. That means we can hover over a particular spot and we can provide telecommunications, we can monitor bushfires, we can patrol the oceans. We can do a whole lot of things here with this. We're looking at these balloons having about a 3-week life at the moment, but if we do our work hard and long over the next few years, we may be able to get these up and hold them up there for about 2 years at a time before we bring them down and refurbish them and send them up again. And they're a fraction of the cost of satellites. They don't need to come down. They can monitor bushfires all night long, all day, all night, and so on. It's just a phenomenal asset that can provide telecommunications down to the ground for the firefighters, for instance. We can even measure the health of every firefighter and whether they've collapsed or need someone to rush over and get them. There's so much more that we can do for things like firefighting, and I should know, I actually work at Katoomba Group Support, which controls all of the firefighting activities. So we're very involved in support of this. But this is what we want to launch from this shire. We want to partner with this council. We want to be able to bring it down and recover it, refurbish it, and then relaunch it again on another project. So, Bruce, any?
Well, that's kind of it in a nutshell. But I bet there's some questions. Good-looking bloke with a haircut like mine, Ed.
Yeah. What are you using to... is it hot air or is it helium? Or
helium.
Helium.
It just stays up there. We have we'll have solar panels.
So power, that was the next question.
So what they can maintain power for the whole duration of the flight.
And your solar panels are built into the shell of the...
Yeah, did you
well,
see?
We wanted to...
The dome. Yep.
We hope to get that one day. Initially, they'll be underneath. They'll be underneath, suspended underneath.
Yeah.
For the time being, because we need to develop this. So initially they'll just be underneath, but as the needs grow, we hope to be able to print it straight onto the balloon.
Yeah, apparently it's not far off doing that now.
There are a few issues with that. Temperature variations inside the balloon can cause problems. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
That's our area of expertise. We know what we're doing, we hope. No, we actually really have to do research, and that's what this is all about. We actually have a really good chance of making this a world first. And just to add to this, we're also been exploring how we can actually create interest for tourism in this area, space tourism and balloon tourism. So on the way here, we were discussing all sorts of activities with Marina downstairs.
Marina over there.
Where are we? Oh, there you are. I didn't spot you over there. So how we can actually get tourism going inside this area, so it's not just a one-stop shop of us wanting to do this stuff. We want to bring in
other activities that, that enhance the whole thing, the whole process.
What would be the timeline for this thing to get come to fruition?
Well, we're partnering with some fairly significant people in universities and the like, and they have a time frame. Okay, so let me just go, just before I answer that, can I go back one step? The role of Thunderstruck Space is to provide the balloon and the platform, the propulsion for the platform and the controls and the up and down link communications. Others want to put the sensor packages, camera packages, call it what you will, on board our aircraft. So some of the people we're teaming with at the moment are very keen on demonstrating early detection of fires for the RFS and the like, and they have a timeline which is a bit tight, but next fire season is like February next year. They want to have a couple of these things in the air then.
Started in July last year.
This is the most exciting thing that's happened to Blanche Arson's ever. can you tell me, with these balloons, what you said they, that photograph that they did, can be observed, what's the span of
Well, once you get up to 20 odd kilometres, 23 kilometres, something like that, the reason why we picked that height, by the way, is there's stable air there. So the motors on board are not fighting strong, strong winds. When you get up into the stratosphere higher up, there can be, you know, 200 and even 300 kilometres an hour. So we can't fight that. So at 23 kilometres height, we have a terrific down view of some 400 kilometres or so, effectively. Probably more in reality, but about 400 kilometres of usable space. So one of the one of our partners is quite keen on putting an array of these into the air, each autonomously talking with the other one to hold position and to have a coverage over a prescribed area. So if you've got a strip of bushfires running up and down the central part of New South Wales, that's where you position your balloons to watch that. Infrared sensors and the like on board, you can detect fires very, very early. Comms packages on board, because it's line of sight from anywhere to up there, you don't get the issues with hills and trees and things like that blocking your communications.
So they could also be used around Australia for showing illegal maritime entries.
Yes, fishing, everything, immigration. But there is
so
one thing I'd like to correct.
Absolutely, yeah.
May I just correct one thing first? Photography is mainly straight down. You can't really get photograph 400 kilometres.
No.
That's radio coverage. We can have internet sort of coverage, maybe that's far out.
Sensor packages and you have on board, yeah.
And it's not like space, because we're so close, the power you need to talk to space and moving objects moving around, the low orbit space stuff, they're all moving all the time, so it's still hard. And geostationary stuff's out at 36,000 kilometres away. We're geostationary at 23 kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to us, hopefully, because we're not providing the package, but telecommunications companies, if we get the two-year lifetime out of this, will be able to talk, spread out the signal to a large area, and no one will be without telecommunications.
Did I hear you say 2-year lifespan each balloon?
We're hoping for a 2-year lifespan.
That's our target. Yeah.
That's our target.
Mm-hmm.
Our initial demonstration should be several weeks. You've got to start somewhere.
Well, what's the cost of the balloon?
Well, that's one of the things we're actually exploring at the moment. What we're trying to do is to make this an entirely Australian effort. So almost every single component we want it to be locally sourced, and so too do our partners, by the way. At the moment, the fabric for the balloon is not made in Australia, but we think we can fix that in time. So one of the most expensive parts is the balloon itself. Once you get fairly high into the air, the infrared radiation is pretty terrible, and the balloon fabric itself breaks down over time, so the fabric used is fairly exotic, shall we say. So we're talking probably $120,000 a piece, something like that.
Yeah, and as we get into longer lifetimes, of course that price might go up, but it's a fraction of a price of
of having satellites. And on top of that, a satellite stays up there. You've got to use it until it's no longer useful. But we can bring down, we can send up another one with an updated package and bring that one down.
Is that a private company or are you?
Yeah, it's
part of the defence club.
It's a private company, yeah.
Right.
Yes, we're a diverse group, but we I've known Bruce though for 50 odd years. So
too many years.
That's why I approached him and saying, hey, Bruce, are you interested in what we're doing? He goes, yeah. he's got the skill set of an engineer and doing all the engineering. I've got the sort of weird mind that says maybe we should try this. Would that be a good description?
Yeah.
Nope, right, yep.
Dennis is more one of our anchor men.
Yeah.
I mean, we are blessed with more PhDs and exotic strings of letters after people's name than you can possibly even think about. However, that's not what makes a company run. And we do need, you know, a whole plethora of people, managers and organisers and things like that. Dennis helps on that side as well.
Security-wise, yeah, how are you going to control who accesses this sort of technology?
Yeah.
That's a conversation worth having.
Yeah, we might have to be a conversation separate time, but we're very focused on that as well, yeah.
We will focus on that because one of our partners is defence, so it will be addressed, have no doubt. We can't exactly be selling this stuff or allowing it to get out to the various powers in the region that may want it as much as anything else.
Yes.
When the balloon actually explodes, this motor is a different one.
This balloon doesn't explode.
Oh.
The weather balloon looking ones, they do explode. That's what we've been flying around here for. You've got to understand steps to get to an end goal. So, yes, those balloons do explode. They come down on a parachute and track them on the way down.
Oh, it's a parachute,
payload.
Is it? That's what I...
Our Stratodone, which is really the subject of what we're doing here today, doesn't explode. We can control it up, we can control it down, and we can control its physical position above a single spot on Earth.
We will have an emergency parachute on board, and it's quite likely to be a fully steerable parachute so we can land it somewhere safe. We're actually working with steerable parachutes on weather balloons right now as a trial, which is all part of the final package. So we need to be doing these balloon flights very regularly. I think we've done about 4 in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, we're out there, and you guys don't even know we've been here. You don't know all these things flying over. In fact, we launched one all the way from Binya, and it landed in our hotel here in West Wyalong, in the grounds of the hotel, just by chance. But nonetheless, you know, these things are flying around all the time. And
can we see them from the ground?
No. You can see them to a certain height, and then your eyes aren't good enough. When you were young, your eyes weren't good enough.
One very clear day when we knew it was straight over us, we did spot it 30k up.
Uh-huh.
It's the only time. Normally we can see them till about 10 or 11 kilometres up. And then we lose sight of them and you go, oh, where is it? You never find it again. Yeah.
So how big is this actual motor that's underneath it? Like, is it weighing a couple of tonne?
No. These are very lightweight things, very lightweight. Especially without any cowling on the outside, they'll be even lighter. These things are very simple and functional, and we will have at all times pilots ready to take control if they lose any issues. And we're looking at also putting in multiple bladders inside so that if one leaks, you've got all the others. If it's coming down, it's coming down really slowly. In fact, unless we brought it down quickly, it'll end up getting blown out off to sea and sink.
Mm.
So invariably the jet stream runs west to east on the whole, and it always has that. Even if it's flying a bit north, it'll still go east. They always end up off the coast. So fairly safe if it came down out there.
So what's this bring to the Blanchard? Are you going? Are you going to set up manufacturing here, or are you?
Well, that's what we want to be able to do, to be in a position to have our base here for these, and to be able to have jobs, whether they be security, whether they be helping us build them, whether they be helping us deploy them. there's opportunities. There's even the possibility of flying them if people have the right credentials.
Correct, correct.
In fact, Defence is having us put through flight training for controlling such things so that we can do, even to have a steerable parachute, we've got to have what they call IREX, which is instrument rating, so we can fly at night in a proper aircraft. We've got to be able to fly all these things by having a cockpit on the ground and artificial horizons and everything else and be able to control it. We've also gone to huge safety capability now with having effectively what's a replacement for radar on board. So we're transmitting our location to air traffic control. They can see us in the air. They can divert aircraft around us. But we're above air, we're above controlled airspace once we break through the jet stream.
One of the nice things about the count, the Shire, is it's remote. So we have an added sense of security here, because it's just remote from any of the cities. So for someone to come out here and start looking at what we're doing, it's a fair trip.
CC, the minutes are there.
Yes.
There's any questions? There's Goldenfields.
Oh, Goldenfields, yeah.
Minutes that are there. If there's any questions for Councillor McGlynn.
I'm passing around a form, a letter that I got this afternoon from Aaron Wilski about the study they did on the pressure. It's all pretty self-explanatory, but we hope it'll be cross 4 foot. To fix the whole thing is a major project, and we'll talk about it more at the workshop, but we may be able to get support from council, not financial, but a program of working, helping us to get funding for this to happen.
Is Goldenfield surprised at the results of the study?
No, not really, because the water system in West Long went in 1936, and it hasn't had a major upgrade since. So there's a...
it's doing remarkably well, actually.
It's been about... And the town's changed the whole plan from the Crescent State to all the other areas. So it's a major... You'll read about it in this little report that's come out, and we'll talk about it more at a later date. And then, in case anyone's got any questions.
That was going to be my question, as usual, every month. what's now, what are you going to do to address it?
Yeah, well,
but you didn't give us much of a chance to read it, so
no,
I probably have got more questions, but
well,
you beat me
there. I'd have got the 5 o'clock. The thing is, it's close to $5 million, and the two areas where towns that are the most in need of upgrades are Coolman and here. So $8 million needs to be spent at Coolman. Now, we are going, we'll either have a huge, you've got a choice, a huge, or it's $100 a year increase in your water bills, or we go cap in hand to the government to get funding, and they normally do not fund water authorities. However, if we I suggested to Aaron this afternoon that we have a comp line fund with Coolman Council and Bland and Goldenfields, work as a team to seek funding for this for both communities, that we may have a better chance of getting the side funding without having to put the cost up. But to do it, we have to replace the whole Main Street system that was built many, many years ago. I've branched off and it explains a bit in this. And in September, after the AUKUS meeting, Aaron would like to come to a workshop and explain our capital works program to you.
Thanks,
question is currently, therefore, what's the limitations on the development of the community without this infrastructure upgrade?
Well, the limitations are, you would have to, I can't answer that, I'd have to take that on board. However,
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
This is what something that Aaron will tell you. I will find out the water pressure is not going to improve unless we have a major upgrade.
Yeah, but therefore, and my concern,
we can put more on, but you're not going to have water pressure in certain
areas.
My concern is the more you put on, the lower the pressure is going to get lower.
Well, that's why we have to get the funding.
As a council supplying water, your obligation is to supply at a certain pressure.
We meet the minimum standard on those areas where it's not good.
So therefore, to put the entire cost of
no, it's only for that moment.
Because all these years we've been paying the full price of water for a lower pressure, a lower service, level of service. Surely we shouldn't have to bear the full cost of the upgrade.
Absolutely.
Let's explain that. Since the expansion of up at Preston State, or I don't know what it's called now, this has made the pressure greater, the water pressure lower, but we are still within the minimum standard of delivery.
I
can only tell you what I've been told. And Aaron would like to come to a meeting. And with any major upgrade, we have to get the money from somewhere. We either fund it where we put water prices up, or we try and get grant money. Now, that's something we can talk about at the workshop.
Well, I don't think the ratepayers aren't actually paying more money than they should, because there's a standard fee and then a rate per litre according to usage. So if it's not coming through the pipe, you're not paying for it. So
exactly, but you need to sit down and compare the price of water here and all the other places.
Okay, that's reasonable.
And if they're getting water, if they're paying the same amount for their water and they're getting it at the right pressure, then we've got a bit of credit.
There's an argument there.
There's justification, but it just popped out at a moment's notice.
They only got the report.
Your timing's excellent.
Councillor Thomas, we can put that on a workshop agenda for further discussion with Councillor McGlynn. Okay, we might leave it there. We'll move on.
Yep.
There's the Rerock minutes there. Any questions about those? Or there's the Ridjo minutes there. Any questions about those?
The Rerock JO operations, the fact that you were looking at going to a company limited by guarantee,
yes,
but you've actually moved a resolution that you'll operate for a further 2 years because of the funding.
Yes, that's correct, Councillor Lloyd.
Yeah.
We felt that that was the board considered that, and we thought that was the wise move at the moment. We feel that in the future, a company by limited guarantee would be a better way for us to operate in terms of costs. However, because of what's going on with the emergency services levy at the moment and the things that have been put to us by the state government, we've been forced into this position.
So I think that's what they
yeah, yeah, the comment I make is the budgetary situation. We were looking, the country limited by guarantee to reduce the costs to local government.
Exactly.
Is this, so in actual fact, for the next 2 years, are we actually looking at an increased cost because we're actually funding it for 2 years further?
Well, we'll be operating at a lower level as we have been so far, so hopefully the costs won't be too great. But we haven't got no choice, Councillor Lord, at the moment. We have to agree to their terms for the time being and see how things play out. Okay, it was because of what they put to us over the ELS. They basically put us in a position that was very difficult, and so we've agreed to continue it for 2 years and see how the Riverina Joint Organisation proceeds.
So the question therefore ask is, so is when it comes to the JO, is Wagga on board with that then?
Wagga's part of the joint organisation. They're not part of RERA, as you know.
So they've been approved by state government by regulation to in actual fact become part of the JO.
I'm not sure whether that's a formal part. I'm not sure whether that's formal yet. They are part of the JO. They are, yes, they always have been part of the JO. They're just not part of RERA.
Always part of the JO because they refused to go in.
Well, they've come on board, but I don't know whether that's been. We always intended to have them as part of the Riverina Joint Organisation, and we've been trying to get them to comply, and they've recently been coming to our meetings, but I'm not sure whether it's actually been ratified by the minister.
I'm just concerned if we want them on board in that case for funding.
Well, I'm sure they come on board. It's the terms of them coming on board, Councillor Lord, that's the problem. Okay, the Wagga Shire Council wants to have more sway in terms of decisions on the joint organisation board, and where the members of RERA are not necessarily happy with that.
Well, the legislation doesn't allow it.
No. Well, this has been the stumbling block. Right? They want more control, and we don't want them to have too much control. That's the issue. Right. Well, we'll move on. Can I have a mover that these recommendations, or these reports be? Can I have a mover? Councillor Wise, a seconder. Councillor Thomas, all those in favour?
Aye.
I declare them carried. Okay, we'll move on to reports to Council, Section 1, Office of the General Manager, page 57. Okay, contractual arrangements for senior staff as of the 30th of June 2020. There's a recommendation there that the information relating to the current contractual arrangements for senior staff as of the 30th of June 2020 is received and noted. Can I have a mover?
Yep.
Councillor Crowe, seconded Councillor Baker. Any further discussion, councillors? No.
I've got to say it, really, haven't we? Since we've lost the option to choose anybody other than the GM, that's been taken out of our hands.
Yes.
So this is just like rubbing your nose at the fact that you've got no say.
I'll take them on board, Councillor Thomas. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Okay, we'll move on to 8.2, Local Roads and Community Infrastructure Program. There's a recommendation there that the attached schedules be adopted for the Local Roads and Community Infrastructure Program. Can I have a mover?
I'll move it.
Councillor McGlynn, seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Keatley.
Can I ask
discussions, councillors?
Can
yes,
I just ask
Councillor
a question initially? The urgency of this is needed. When does it need to be decided by effectively?
Mr. Engineer.
Because we have, because a couple of these are relating to the results of other grants.
Preferably this meeting, but it could wait for the next meeting.
Okay. Any further?
Second of September,
does that sound? It'll be about the 2nd of September.
Yeah, that's the original rules, well, but yeah, it needs to be done fairly quickly.
Okay, it's got to be done fairly quickly. Any further, Councillor Baker?
Which option are we taking, one or two?
That's what I'm asking.
It depends on the funding.
So I think the recommendation takes into account those two options. Yes, Councillor Baker?
Well, can we actually make a decision when we don't know which option we're going to choose?
Well, are you happy with both those options, Councillor Baker?
Yeah.
Well,
as a mover, I am very happy.
I honestly think we ought to know which option is going to be taken up.
I agree with that, because effectively it, when it looks to the options, effect that, you know, if option two becomes the situation, the resales and the West Wylam streets, we may want to look at changing things like that.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Councillor,
look, remove the motion that's been seconded. This, I congratulate the Acting General Manager on this program. It's the most comprehensive use of grant money that we've had in this term.
Yes, no interference, that's correct.
There's no interference at all. Now, this covers areas that we have not covered before. For example, that this is the first time in any grant we're evaluating to an asset. And this is a fantastic thing. When you go through them, I mean, okay, the only one that's in doubt is the bridge at Undary. And this has to be done. Either way, it has to be done. And depending on that, then comes the road money, the upgraded roads in the town of West Wylam, doesn't it? One goes up and one goes. Either way, these things have got to be
done.
It's
adapted, yeah, that's right.
And every one of those is a worthy thing to be done. We have to get that bridge. Undary is the most flood-prone area in our whole shire. That has to be done. Either the cheaper version or the more expensive version. This has all got to happen. And it's the set 1.8 million, it's the set amount of money. It's not Blanchard money, it's federal money that we've got as a one-off. And it gives us a wonderful opportunity to do this. The next one, value-adding to the hangar. We've missed projects at the airport because we haven't had hangar space. Now, this is going to value-add to a fantastic asset we have that's totally underutilised.
And give us great opportunities in the future.
Absolutely. Mm. The next one is the upgrade of the hack facilities. Now, I heard Councillor Lord say, this was maintenance, blah, blah, blah. When you read page 76, I don't care if this is maintenance or what it is. But the benefit for the elderly people that have contributed and made West Wylam what it is today, to in any way enhance their lives. And some of it's maintenance, some that they can have pets, that they can have a vegetable garden, and they can have chickens. Things. They've got very little to look forward to at that age stage of their life. And if we're spending that sort of money, that's fantastic.
You can't have those sorts of facilities at the village. So
yes,
you can have it at the
hack
center,
right.
They get access.
And the benefits of having these people outside.
That's true.
The next one is the West Wylam Tennis Club. It's been here since 100 years. It's been here 100 years. They have never come to... This is not one cent of this is council money. This has got... the most itemised...
Thomas, hang on. Councillor.
No, this has got the most itemised account of how they're going to spend their money of any project we've ever had. Now, Councillor Baker's, and the next one, the Southern Lights, well, that's recommended. And then the West Wylam resealing of roads. Now, we are not... The roads in West Wylam deteriorate the same as any other road. We have not gone out and used 1 cent in this program of allocated rural road funding. This is a one-off that we have this chance to get the repairs done that have been out there and have not been done for a long, long time. And this is not going to make any rural producers suffer because we're spending money in the town of West Wylam when it should be going into our rural road program. And this is the benefit of this. Not 1 cent of this is our money. It's coming from the federal government. And it's really...
It's our money.
It's not coming out of our rate base. And the other thing about this, Councillor Baker said this was going to be hard to sell to the rural community. Let me tell you, we've had 4 state grants that have come in at around about 1.1, 1.2, to about 4 million, about 4.5 million in the last 5 years. We've had $2 million from the drought money that's come in from the federal government. Most of that money has gone out, the majority of it's gone out to the villages. And even the things that have happened in West Wylam, people from the villages can come in. We've had the camp draft, 120,000, 80,000 with the small ball club. We've had all these things. These facilities are for the town of West Wylam and the whole Blanshire community. This is the first time we've centred on this. We're not excluding anybody. Naturally, you're going to put the main infrastructure into the town of West Wylam. But I know some people, one person in particular is against the tennis club getting anything. Well, for heaven's sake, they've been going for over 100 years. They are a major tourism person, and they cover all ages. So
okay.
That's why I support it.
In conclusion, you're in favour.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Councillor Baker.
You've done very well, Councillor McGlynn, but it still doesn't... well, I'll ask this question to the General Manager. Are we likely to get a grant for the Ungerry Bridge?
Through you, Mr Mayor, probably 50-50, I would say, yeah.
So we're more or less looking at option one rather than two?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, to me, I think if we're going to have to move a motion, we've got to have one option or the other. Like I can't see...
Okay, well then we've got to bring the whole thing back to council. That's the difference. So the whole process, we have to go through the whole process again. Councillor Thomas.
Yeah, the hangar, I can see the use and the justification and the cost. It's fair enough. But the layout, where it's to be located, we can't assume that it's just going to get done in the right place. It seems to be a schmozzle out there. We've got the problem with the drag strips taking precedence over people's hangers and flooding. I've been on the phone to Councillor Pike. He's given me an hour-long ear bashing. But the thing is, it should never have happened. It doesn't appear like there's any overall plan. Now, if we've got other mines opening down at Reefton, that airport is going to become a major issue. People are going to be flying in and out. We'll probably get commercial flights again. We need to look at it professionally for the future. Nobody's against the drag strip. Great, good thing. But there's 8,500 square kilometres in this shire. It should not limit the future of our airport. And getting back to this hangar, do you know where it's going to go? Have we got a plan? Do we get to approve it before it gets chucked anywhere and causes a traffic hazard?
But through you, Mr Mayor, the positioning, I would say, was operational. And... but we were going to put it on that existing pad we've got out there, and we're going to seal that existing pad, the one that's beyond the existing
hangers. The existing hangers. And is there a drainage layout? Have you taken levels to see where it's all going to work?
The drain, where the pad is, it was designed for drainage when the pad was originally written, so the drains were quite well around the existing pad that we've done.
Well, it would be good to see an actual layout drawing. I mean, you can say it's operational, but that's proven to be unsatisfactory in the past. We need to see a layout plan with levels on it.
Okay. We could bring that to a workshop and
have a look at it. You know the area of the roof, you know the rainfall, you know the average. If there's not enough fall, it's not going to run away. All you're going to do is build in ground. Drains in the ground, you're just going to create swimming pools.
Yes, yeah, I take your point, Councillor Thomas.
The other one for the Bland Community Centre, I'm dead against us putting grant money into doing maintenance work. Why hasn't the maintenance been done on that? That's atrocious, some of the garden. Yeah. Can't you get the maintenance done? Is there a problem internally in the Bland Shire?
It's actually,
of course.
Through you, Mr Mayor, it's actually a resourcing issue, Councillor Thomas. The Parks and Gardens teams are fairly busy with their normal scheduling, work schedule, so trying to be able to get...
But that's something that's done in preparation for each budget every year, what you need to do the job properly, what it's going to cost, etc. We shouldn't be using grant funding. It's the same as Coolinda Park, the work up there. Maybe if they were doing their maintenance work, they'd be down there fixing up your, community care centre.
Yeah, we can see you have a point, Councillor Thomas.
Well, yes, but some of it's maintenance, but 3 years to wait, but some of it's also hack is self-funded from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other sources don't fund, we have to put some money in to support it as well.
The question I also ask on that upgrade to the HACS facilities, that has actually had an application for a grant. Has that grant been approved yet, or have we got the result? So again, it's one of those ones we don't know.
We've not been advised whether we have been successful with that grant application. I'd be surprised if we weren't successful at this stage, given that the grant was submitted some 6 weeks ago and there was some urgency in the turnaround. So
they often don't tell you if you've got a grant.
Okay, hang on a minute. Councillor Lloyd, apparently I'm told by the Acting General Manager that if money came through for the HAC grant, that money could then be re-employed in the reselling program. So the motion allows for...
So in other words,
what
we're doing is putting a lot of assumed things into this. Look, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm really not... I'm concerned with the HAC's facilities. I'm concerned with the bridge, the fact that I am not concerned with many of the projects, the fact that they have been lumped on us at a workshop. We only get details, full details, 3 or 4 days before the meeting. Effectively, we need to look at it, and I just believe that if the whole and I can support the majority of these things here. The issue is I just want to be able to sit there and make an informed decision and study the documentation and possibly await the result of the grants.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I understand where Councillor Lloyd and Councillor Thomas are coming from with regards to the other grant applications. The difference between this bucket of money and those is that this is money that Council has been allocated. Council's role in this process is to identify the projects where we want to spend the money, whereas the other grant applications, they are grant applications, they are competitive. We are competing with every other local government area in New South Wales. This is federal government money that has been, it's basically a gift to Council.
Yeah.
So it's a case that, yes, some of the items that have been listed could be considered as maintenance. However, with regards to the HAC funding, the funding that is received for community care services is limited to the provision of services. It is not to be spent on upgrading the service. So that is actually, any maintenance work is across the council, and yes,
upgrading
it is factored.
Upgrading and maintenance are different items.
Yes, they are different items,
yeah.
But they are still capital items with council budgets for. But again, there's also a resourcing component involved with that.
So you're seeing this as an opportunity?
It is an opportunity for Council to improve its facilities.
Councillor.
I'm just going to strip it back. So if I'm in favour of all this, so if the grants don't come through, we more or less get more roads sealed with everything.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly. It goes into road sealer. So my own personal opinion is I think that you could, you know, we can vote this through and be confident that the money won't be misused.
Mm.
And that's your concern.
And plans for...
So there's no further discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put the motion, and we'll need a recording of this, I think, Julian. But, yeah. Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Can you just please tell us the motion?
Okay, the motion is that the attached schedules be adopted for the local roads and community infrastructure funding program.
Right.
So we'll take the vote.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tony, you yes or no?
I'm an abstention.
You're an abstention. Okay. All right. All bar Councillor Lloyd. I declare it carried. We'll move over to 8.9. 8.3, Fight Cancer Foundation, Hilltop Accommodation Centre. There's a recommendation there that the request for financial assistance to the Fight Cancer Foundation, Hilltop Accommodation Centre be received and noted with no further action. Can I have a mover?
Yep.
Councillor Wise, have a seconder. Councillor Thomas. Discussion, councillors.
Looks good to me.
Yep.
It's fairly straightforward, I think.
Considering it, we are considering.
All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. We'll move on to 8.4, the Elite Sports People Grant, Southern Sports Academy. There's a recommendation that council fund the $1,000 requested from the SSA from the Strengthening Communities Grant Fund to ensure funds remain in the Elite Sports Program Grant for
for local athletes. Councillor Lord seconded. Councillor McGlynn. Discussion, councillors. Councillor Lord, want to speak to it?
I think we've actually, we in the past supported our youth in the various, when they excel in the various sports, and I think we should continue.
We should continue, yes.
Okay, very good. Councillor McGlynn, would you like to speak to it? No.
It speaks for itself. We're a town based on sport, and it's a major part of agriculture,
just
sport, and gold, and that's the bundle of the third and the middle.
Now aerospace. If there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. So we'll move on to section 2, corporate and community services. 8.5, finance and investment report for June 2020. Can I have a mover? Councillor Thomas, seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Lord. Okay, discussion, councillors.
It adds up.
Very good. That's always a good start.
There's anything wrong, it's what's recorded.
Oh, Councillor Baker, yes.
When does the new reporting system come in?
I've spoken with the previous mayor, I've spoken to the manager of customer finance, and they're developing a report based on our discussions at the workshop. I'll bring that back to the next workshop to make sure it's sufficient before we actually implement it. It does require some work to be done to actually extract the relevant information. So it's, and they have been busy with finishing off the end of year process.
Okay, that's very good. You satisfied with that, Councillor Baker?
Yes.
Very good. Any further questions, councillors?
Just a comment with regard to the difficulty of the year of drought, COVID-19 and everything else, and to actually have 95% of your rates collected, I think it's an outstanding achievement.
Yeah.
I really do believe
it should be applauded. Well done.
And that really needs to be noted.
Well done. Well done.
You should be congratulating and then you should be congratulating people playing
the place. The community, we should go to that.
Very good. Okay, well, that's fair comment, Councillor Doss. Okay, we'll put the recommendation. There's a recommendation there. One, the council receive and note the information contained within the finance and investment report for the month of June 2020. And two, the council confirms the payment of accounts for the period 1 June to 30th of June 2020, summarised in the accounts summary totalling $1,923,656.79. Put that motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Okay. 8.6, Local Government Remuneration Tribunal.
I'll move it.
Councillor McGlynn, seconder?
Yep.
Councillor Crowe. Okay. The recommendation being that one, that in accordance with section 248 of the Local Government Act 1993, council fix the annual fee for councillors at the maximum amount allowable, being $12,160 per councillor for the period 1 July 2020 to the 30th of June 2021. And two, that in accordance with section 249 of the Local Government Act 1993, council fix the annual fee for the mayor at the maximum allowable, being $26,530 for the period 1 July 2020 to the 30th of June 2021. It's got 201 more than 2021. Okay, with that change, with that error?
Yes,
Councillor Baker.
Is there any way we can get connected to Wagga? I see they knocked the $4,000 prize.
How did that?
That's
3 years.
Okay. Councillor Thomas.
That's well above the 2.6 what we've raised the rates by, and that caused a lot of drama. Do you think we should peg it to the 2.6 instead of going for that? That's a bit greedy and a really tough time.
What do you think?
Three never get it back.
This is 2.5%.
Yes.
You never get it back.
It's 2.5%.
2.5%, is it?
Yeah.
I never worked it out.
2.5%, so it's actually under the rate.
You happy with that, Councillor Thomas?
I think it's too much considering, but...
Oh, you can donate yours to me.
I don't suffer from low self-esteem. I'm well worth it. I just think it's a hard bloody call in this environment.
It's a lot of hard calls.
Okay, well, there's no further discussion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Page 124, councillors. Section 3, technical services. 8.7, roads program for 2020-2021. There's a recommendation there. I'll read it. The Blanchard Council adopt the attached 2020-2021 roads program, with the understanding that the works may be changed by the Director of Technical Services due to factors such as changing priorities, changing income and costs, and the weather. Can I have a mover? Councillor McGinn, have a second. Councillor Lord.
I'll move it on the condition to add 10 more.
Well, that would be talking about
you
changing
about
priorities that might come up later on.
Changing priorities that could come up, Councillor McGinn. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Councillor Lord, do you want to speak to it?
Basically, I've probably only got a question with related to the last lot of grants that were announced with the roads named. They are included in this program?
Yes, they are.
They are, they're included.
No, that's the roads we'll be doing out of that grant.
Okay,
the only thing that's not in here is the flood damage.
Okay, very good. Councillor Baker.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Just a question to the engineer. I notice here that all these roads, which I presume get the priority, why are we only doing parts of them?
To you, Mr. Mayor, it's to do with the funding.
Okay.
Amount of money.
Money.
Well, wouldn't we be better off to say cut this down to 2/3 and
get
do the whole road, or the whole road?
Then it gets the other third upset.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep everyone happy, Councillor Bacon. That's the issue.
We're going to get
some people attacking us no matter what. So we're just trying to keep people happy. Councillor Thomas.
What do you plan to do with Condella Road?
Okay, sir.
I mean, with that
original,
the cost of fixing that road is to rip the whole thing up, the all 50 stakes, and relay it. So it's obviously you haven't got the money to do that. So what are you planning to do for that?
He's going
to
answer that.
The Corniella Road was the grant, local roads grant.
Special grant.
Special grant. It was in two sections. One section was to fix up the bit of road between the Newell and Piper's Hill, that bit as you go in.
Yeah.
And the other section is to fix up a roundabout where Bland Creek crosses, where the shoulders are dropping away.
So you're only going to do two very short, a 10 kilometre to the hill, and then about what?
Only about that much. We've only got one.
And that's what I was assuming, because you haven't got a lot of money, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. And hopefully, if the second round comes up, we'll go for more.
Very good. Happy with that?
A lot more. Yeah.
Very good.
It answers the question.
Any further questions, councillors? No. Okay. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. We'll move on to 8.8, Plant Replacement Program 2020-2021. There's a recommendation there. I'll read it. The Blanshire Council note and adopt the replacement of the major plant outlined in the report, which looks like it's two Volvo graders, a cut loader, a cut backhoe, and the flail mower used by the noxious plant and pest control area. Would you like to say something to that, Mr. General Manager?
Well, we have a 10-year rolling plan on our plant. This is what we've allocated this year.
Okay, can I have a mover?
I'll move it.
Councillor Baker, second. Councillor Thomas. Yep, you'd like a question, Councillor
Thomas?
No,
just the some of our graders are able to be used in fireworks, like cutting fibrates and that, for some reason.
Correct?
Was that the two Volvos?
No, three. That was the cat one, which is now we haven't got anymore.
Okay, so whatever we replace with
can be used.
Can be used.
Can be used. That's important.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Any further questions, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. 8.9, request for addition of council roads to nature reserves. There's a recommendation there. The council resolved to approve the request from National Parks and Wildlife to incorporate the identified road corridor into adjacent nature reserves. Can I have a mover?
Yes, same there.
Councillor Lord, Councillor Keatley. Councillor Lord, would you like to speak to it?
I just think it's reasonably straightforward, particularly when you look at these on the maps. The yellow effectively, I perceive it as the yellow area on each of these particular maps, and really they're not effectively utilised at all.
Thank you, Councillor Keatley. Would you like to speak to it?
Just wondering if they are of any use as far as bushfire brigade or bushfire fighting areas. I noticed this one straight up the middle of wherever that one is.
A large wooden.
That one looked to be a fairly important road to still have open as far as that.
Three, Mr. Mayor, in the submission they put in, that's what they wanted for the fire trail.
That's what's
written. So it would still be an open fire trail.
Yes.
Yes.
I gathered that, but is the
RFS,
buddy, putting anything towards it.
To be honest, I know this is just.
It seems the normal way they do business now.
Oh.
It's just taking money from us. Yes.
Well, they'd be maintaining.
Councillor Thomas.
This takes to the National Parks maintain their
Well, that's great.
Think
it's a win for us as well.
The National Parks then take
They will be maintaining the area, though.
Sorry,
yes, that's correct.
Mr. Mayor, I was not going to support this because is there any. If the minute you put anything under some sort of environmental protection, we'll get the green spotted frog or the purple lizard will come out if we ever have to do anything like that. Why would we absolutely put anything up that's going to, in the future, come back and buy us?
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I had a long talk with the Director of Technical Services, and he doesn't like giving any roads away at all.
No.
But when you go and look at these sites, they're fully wooded. They don't. You can't see where the difference is, and the request, I think, is reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can't pick what's going to happen in the future. If by some chance we want to get this back, we've put it over as a nature reserve, you've got yours and Buckley's, because we'll get some obscure little creature that's come out of the woodwork that died off 3,000 years ago and suddenly found its way into the Blanchard.
Well, we don't understand that anyway. Mm-hmm. It's fully wooded, that's why we give it away.
Okay. All right.
That raid down the centre, if it's fully wooded, it won't be much good to the
fire brigade,
they clear it.
So,
Mr. Mayor, sorry, but the one down the centre is actually a track.
It is still.
So, what's the point of it anyway?
We will end up at where the buck because they pass them all on to us.
That's
the point.
Yeah,
through you, Mr. Mayor, the point is that these nature reserves, they've gone and looked at the nature reserves, and they've seen there's some land around it that looks exactly like the nature reserve, and they should be part of it. And they believe they should take it in, and we don't disagree.
Okay, that's reasonable. Right, there's no further discussion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
I declare
it. Against it, mate.
Yes, we report. Councillor McGlynn voted against. Okay. We'll move on to section 4, reports for information. Could I have a mover for these reports? Councillor Wise, Councillor Lord. We'll move through them. One by one, 8.10 Economic Development and Tourism Report. Okay, questions, councillors, comments?
A lot of money tied up in that. 20K is still sitting in the Wylie Town statistics. Wonder why they're not spending it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, there's not much point. Yeah, the whole idea of it was to stimulate the economy in town, not to sit in some third party's pocket.
Okay, can we take that question on notice? We'll look into that, perhaps bring it to a workshop.
No,
we'll do that. Okay. Very good. Any further questions, councillors? No? Okay. We'll move on to 8.11, Community Services Report. Any observations, councillors, questions?
It's very good that the number of community groups that have taken up our offer.
Yeah.
Isn't it terrific?
Yeah, fantastic. The more we do it, the better. Is there a
cut-off
point? No.
That ceases in 10 days' time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah, so effectively,
10 days.
Been one of the most popular initiatives.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And through you, Mr. Mayor, the reasons have to be justified, so this can't be.
It's been one of the most popular initiatives we've put forward as a council, and it's been copied by other shires, so we're tickle pink, actually.
And Trump.
And these will be acquitted appropriately by the 30th of July.
Yes. Now, I've been at the Lone Pine, the motorcycle club, that put in something for lighting or whatever. No response yet. But they still got, 10 days, is it?
Yes, 10 days. 10 days. Okay. Chase them up again, Councillor. Okay, there's no further questions. Move on to 8.12, Blanchard Library Monthly Update.
They've been managing very well through this COVID thing.
They've managed it very well.
Yes. They've been absolutely outstanding.
The question I asked at the quarantine period is now 24 hours.
Yes.
It's been a recommendation by the various health departments, because with this change in situation, viruses can still survive for up to 48.
For how long?
48 hours.
The recommendation has come from Riverina Regional
the record keeping, when we're talking to admissions in and out, are we getting mobile phone numbers as well on that? No,
people are using their
QR code?
Library cards.
Oh.
So when they check books out, we have a record of
who's done that today. Yeah.
And the visitor centre also has a sign-in book for anybody that comes in.
Very good.
And the VIC is getting phone numbers as well?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to 8.13, Children's Services Monthly Update. Any questions, comments, councillors?
I dare say they're having a few problems trying to fit in amongst all of this.
It's a challenge. Okay, we'll move on to 8.14, Land Community Care Services Update. So that looks like they're handling that well.
Yes, that is, again, it's a difficult situation to handle.
Very
difficult.
They're handling it well.
Doing it very well.
They are. 8.15, the Assets and Engineering Services Report. I suppose Councillor Baker will have some comments to make.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Only thing I've got to mention tonight, has the wall mail gone out to Toowoomba?
The work has been done, but the lawnmower hasn't gone. The initial work was done,
yeah,
but the lawnmower hasn't gone yet.
Yeah, all I've heard done again.
Yep.
Any further comments, councillors? No. Okay, we'll move on to 8.16, Development Services Activity Report.
Number of cats gone down,
councillor.
No,
they've gone up.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Tats.
Euthanizing. So is that tats? I think it's tats.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the tank.
It's the tank, is it?
He's always had a plan to do it. Which is a good
great
idea.
Great thing.
Too.
Yeah, good thing.
But I think it's an old stable beside it on the side of it.
Yeah.
That'd be great if it was turned into a zero.
I think that's quite interesting because that's an area where they used to have sales and things, I think, in years gone by. And it's actually, there might be some sort of order on that area, is there, Mr. General Manager? Is there some sort of trust order on that?
I think there's a bit of order on it, nothing.
Nothing too significant. Okay, there is some sort of restriction on that.
What, and change it from the eyesore it is now.
I know, but I think we might need to talk to them. That's all, Councillor Thomas.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure I can work around.
Okay.
But
he's
got
to
do
that, so that's no problem.
Not
the
staples.
Any further comments, Councillor Thomas? Again, yes.
The Hallahan's block. I understand it's only just gone through last Thursday. The information that was requested.
That's through last.
And
Thursday.
It hasn't been confirmed that they've received it yet. And this is ongoing. I mean, 8 years is probably a bit long to get a response.
I'll, through Mr. Mayor, I will ring up the Department of Planning on Thursday, which is the week after, and see where it is and follow it up.
Okay.
The second, one of the few things that we've asked for that's not in the LEP to get done as a council as a whole, they've asked for it and we're getting
the runaround.
Yeah, we're getting the runaround, and we did the same with Alex Maitland. It's just not unacceptable. Why we got the run around on that too.
I'll make an inquiry.
You'll make the inquiry. Okay. And get back to us at workshop.
Well, hopefully by workshop I'll make a number of inquiries.
Okay. Workshop's gonna be a busy workshop.
Can I ask a question? Can you tell me the unmanned service station at the Showground Road.
Showground
Road.
Yeah,
what's that all about?
Showground Road.
It's very much, it's similar to the IOR.
Okay.
Whereabouts?
It's up on
the bypass.
Up on this end,
Near Donaldson's.
Nearly opposite
the one that's there.
Yes.
It's
the
old
one.
Okay. Any further questions, councillors? If not, I'll put that motion All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. There's no notices of motion and questions without notice. I think we're at an end. I think we're at an end. Thank you very much, councillors. That's the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for attending. Thanks for our audience, whoever remained. Thank you very much for attending.
Just before you go, one thing.
One order of business.
One order of business. Tomorrow morning at the McCann Park, there's a photo shoot at 9:30 for the Creative Community Award. If any council wants to go down there?
For the what?
10:30.
Sorry,
yeah.
We're not
9:30. Okay.
Can you tell us again? Because I missed it.
I'm
there.
9:30.
9:30.
Photo op.
9:30. Okay.
McCann Park.
Oh, before we go, can we wish our lady over here a very happy birthday, Julie's birthday?
Oh, many happy returns, Julie. Happy birthday.
Sorry, Mr.